Chapter 1. Growing Up and Draka. I was born into a house that looked from the outside like the other houses on our block in suburban Maryland. But inside, our house was bursting with creative energy. My parents believed that life was a giant puzzle, and we had the happy task of discovering its infinite mysteries. For my third birthday, my parents gave me a 6-foot-long plastic model river, complete with running water. My father, Steve, who works as a civil engineer, thought it would be fun and educational. I spent hours dropping pieces of foam and other objects into my little river. Using different-sized rocks, I watched, utterly transfixed, all the ways obstructions would change the flow of the water. My very first science experiment was a huge success. Banana peels sink. When I was growing up, my mom, Jane, could turn even a boring car ride into an intense, brain-racking competition between my brother Luke and me. In most cases, the challenge began with an innocent question tossed out by my mom. What would happen if the sun disappeared? Go, Mom asked. Game on. From the back seat, my brother and I raced each other for the right answer. The Earth would shoot off its orbit, he shouted. It would get really cold, I added. As fast as my brain worked, Luke's moved even faster. We wouldn't know about the sun disappearing for a full 8 minutes because of the time it takes for light to travel. He was so smart and he knew it. Show off. That's not true, I protested. Look it up, he said calmly, appearing way too satisfied. We both knew he was correct. He had an annoying habit of always being right. After my mom felt like our brains had been thoroughly exhausted by one type of question, or, in my case, if she suspected I was on the verge of throwing one of my I'm-tired-of-playing-this-game tantrums, she'd abruptly move on to another, sometimes cutting us off mid-sentence. Picture an imaginary frog jumping on a number line. The frog always jumps the same number of steps, but we can't tell you the interval. What numbers do you hit to catch the frog? Go. Luke and I blurted out different patterns of numbers. 037, Luke shouted. 149, I chimed in. We would know who got the right answer by the compliment from my mom that followed, which usually sounded something like, "Great job, Luke," followed by an overly exaggerated sigh, huffing out of me. I can't remember a time when I didn't want to be like my big brother. It seemed like anything he set his mind to, he could accomplish, especially if it involved computers, video games, math, or building things. Especially building things. Luke, who had a 2-year head start on me from birth, had always loved engineering. Even as a kid, he walked around the house with his little Phillips head screwdriver, taking things apart and trying to put them back together. Sometimes he'd disappear outside, only to show up a few hours later with a broken radio that someone had tossed out in the trash. On Saturday mornings, when most kids were watching cartoons, I woke up to find Luke hiding away in a corner, working like a mad scientist. When I toddled my way over to see what he was doing, he looked at me like a mischievous cat that had caught a mouse and was determined to protect his prized catch from outsiders. I knew he didn't want to be disturbed, so I'd plant myself a safe distance away and watch. Watching Luke in action topped cartoons any day. By the time I was ready for elementary school, Luke had taught me how to play Chinese checkers. I was so competitive and wanted to beat him so badly. In addition to harnessing the concepts of strategy, playing against Luke also gave me an opportunity to test my death glare. I fantasized that my stare could penetrate his skull, blocking his mental powers and handing me my first victory. I played and glared and played, but no matter how hard I squinted, I always lost. After defeat, I glared at him some more. He'd just laugh and pat my shoulder. "Maybe next time," he'd say. Both of us knew he didn't mean it. While his cheerful manner just made me angrier, he didn't seem concerned. He was always moving on to his next intellectual conquest. On rainy days, my brother and I fought for control of the family computer. It was a big desktop, and I loved watching the letters and numbers I touched on the keyboard show up on the screen in front of me. By the time I was in third grade, I was able to open different programs that allowed me to paint or type stories. It wasn't long after I mastered opening and closing my browser that my Uncle Ted first turned me on to the powers of the internet. "Use your technology," he always said. "It goes well with your brain." He was right. It did. I couldn't believe the wealth of information inside that machine. To 8-year-old me, it seemed like I could discover the entire knowledge of the universe if I hit the right keys.